contentment we need. Spirit, lest we falter in our unbelief. The expectations of others weigh us down till we can hardly see.
All right, today's the last part of this Get Closer podcast series. And we're all obviously going to go to a passage my pastor's been preaching on. And so let's just get right out the gate and read it. We're in John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, and that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. So I'm going to pray because I think this one is important and I don't want to be confusing. Lord, I pray for this podcast today and I pray that you're exalted in maybe a clearer way today that we grapple with what's the work that's already done and the work that's left that you've left us to do. But that we understand that this is not a self-effort game anymore. This is not pick up our earthly wiles and our know-how and operate according to our standard, even if it's couched in religiosity. I pray that we would understand that this is not a new man way. This is a God way through us. And help me to clarify that. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I wanted to just hone in on this verse 4. Verse 3, starting at verse 3. Hopefully you can hear me. Good grief. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. We're talking about believers today. I'm just going to simplify it quite a bit. When I say that, you know, in the last podcast or the first podcast and the one after that, it was more a matter of taking on suffering that we need to take on. And then getting our mindset on the Great Commission. But I want to tell you a little bit about my background. My background is part of fundamentalism. And one of the things that was predominant in fundamentalism is sticking with the right church. And you were seen as spiritual. I went to, you know, fundamentalist school. And, you know, the holy ones were the ones that were going to be preachers and the ones that were going to be missionaries. And the rest of us were just kind of, it was unspoken. Nobody went around saying this, but the rest of us were just heathens. And this is not what I'm referring to when I say take on the Great Commission. And yesterday we talked about not forcing women into the kitchen and making sure that's her only thing that she does. We are not talking about subverting authority. I just want to make that clear from yesterday. We all have authority. Even leaders have authority. And ultimately, they have Jesus Christ as the head. And so what we aren't talking about is deliberate subversion of authority. Couched or in light of, and this is what often is the problem with extreme thinking that I just tell my wife what to do and she doesn't answer to anybody else. That extreme thinking, and I've heard it preached, you need to treat your husband as if he's God. I've heard it preached. And it's idolatry, and it's nothing short of idolatry. And the thing is, that kind of insecurity that breeds that sort of absolute obedience. The problem with following man, even your husband, off a cliff is that you go off a cliff. So if Jesus is not the center of your relationship and what Jesus' agenda is, we know that he's about making holy people, dead people alive. Unholy, holy. That's what he's in the business of doing. And when our mind is set on those things, those kingdom oriented things. It gives us room to rebuke each other. It gives us room to confront each other. And it gives us room to grow. There is no other, if you're going to go right, where she's mindless and she just follows, or left, where she's subversive and won't come under any kind of authority. You are following each other off cliffs. Because following man is really tricky within Christendom. We have a number of issues within the church, but one of the main ones is idolatry. And we can align ourselves to a certain pastor to the degree that we stop thinking about our own walk, to the degree that we stop obeying. And you know, when we stop obeying, we stop seeking justice. And when you seek justice, for example, a molestation issue, when you seek justice, all hell's going to break loose. But you aren't being subversive. Your focus is not to subvert authority. Your focus is justice. And people are going to take it as subverting authority. But your focus is justice. And you will find out when there's, and these issues, they're horrible, but these issues really define who is actually a discerning individual and who isn't. And when you have aligned yourself to a leader, and when you should all align yourself to a leader, but when you have aligned yourself to a leader that brushes injustices under the carpet, you do not have a discerning leader. You don't have a discerning leader. And if, because he might know that it's wrong to do this, but he doesn't have the discernment to know that if I don't seek justice on this, I am not honoring to God. There might be trepidation, there might be fear, there might be, you know, weary of the consequences, there might be all of that stuff. But if you can count something as right and wrong according to the law and not seek justice and not understand that you need to seek justice in this area, you don't, anyone off the street can say, yeah, that's wrong. But a discerning person understands when something brings glory to God and when something does not bring glory to God. Not just right and wrong. So what I'm asking you, when we're talking about abiding, I am not talking about you taking on a list of things to do. Well, then I guess I better be, I guess I start my pastoral ministries courses, because that's what holy people do. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you that scripture says abide. And who cares what I'm telling you to do? But scripture says abide. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, this is verse 5, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And you know, the cool thing about God is that he's way more creative than we are. Look around you at the world that he created. So there aren't a list of career choices that have a God-ordained symbol over them and career choices that are not. Maybe, extremes or whatever. But if you are abiding in him, no man can answer you. If this is what God wants you to do, there is no argument that will stand. So we don't come to abiding and presuppose what it is God wants us to do and write up that list and do that. No, we abide and then he leads. We abide and we depend and we trust and we continue to do so and he leads. And no man can answer you. Here's scripture. Romans 4:4. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared. Operate like you're cleared. Not that you have to work for some kind of acceptance to God. Work out of that acceptance. And no man is going to be able to answer you. When your business is to abide, I have two rabbits. One of them named Buttons. She's easy to pick up. She's easy to hold, but her eyes are always narrowed on the next disruptive thing she can do. She pounces on her sister. She chases her sister around. She tries to dominate her. She's got my other one has claw marks on her back from where Buttons has attacked her. Barely let her rest. Right now she's asleep in the corner. Barely let her rest. Barely let her get any food before she jumps on her. But my kids love Buttons. Because why? She's easy to pick up and hold. Oh, Buttons this and Buttons that. I tried to tell him, I'm like, she's got you fooled. Buttons has got you fooled. You don't like Pearl because she's skittish. She's not that easy to pick up. But once you get Pearl in your arms, she melts and her eyes immediately close and she rests. I take her on car rides. It's a special thing that she gets to do without her sister jumping on her. And she'll jump up on my chest and she'll look outside to see where I'm going. And then she'll get down on the floor and with her paws up on the seat, she'll look at me to make sure she's safe. She'll look at me. God is not asking you to be perfect in other people's eyes. That's what I'm trying to illustrate here. He's not asking for everyone around you to think of you as perfect. He's asking you to keep your eyes on him, fixed on him. Just keep looking at him. Okay, that was not a good decision. Keep looking. Maybe I messed that one up. Keep looking. I'm going to go forward on this because I really feel God wants me to do that. They don't like it, but I really feel God wants me to do this. Keep looking. Perfect is an illusion. Altogether is an illusion. Abide. It won't look perfect to other people. At times it's going to look downright messy to other people. What he wants is for you to depend on the vine, the true vine. That's it. And all these things will be added to you. Your path will get clearer. If we don't come with our presuppositions, if we don't come with what we think holiness looks like, if we don't come with our standard of perfection, if we lay those things aside, which is hard to do if you're entrenched in a religious circle, if we lay those things aside and we just start abiding, our eyes will discern our path. Proverbs 3:5-6. Let's just read it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. Let's pray. God, we need help with this because we tend to follow people. We are followers from the word go. And it's not bad, but we have to remember you are Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And there is a tendency to follow people right off the rails. If we don't abide in you, if we don't trust you more than men, oh God, make us people that trust you more than even what our eyes see. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Jesus saves.